Praise God. How many know we serve a holy God? And he's a good God. Amen? Praise God. You have your Bible tonight. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. Praise God. Not my favorite verse, but one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible we get to share from tonight. One of them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Going to read it first from King James, then going to read it from New American Standard. You know, New American Standard, that's my version. That's the one we like the most. They say that's the most accurate version of the Word of God, the New American Standard. But anyway, that's my favorite version, New American Standard. This verse that we're going to start off with, when I first became a Christian and discovered this verse, it ministered so much to me. Heard it, read it in the Bible, and then heard someone share about it, but memorized it in King James. And so whenever I see this verse, I always quote it in King James, even though most scriptures I know are in a New American Standard. You didn't ask me for all that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 3 and 4 is where we're going. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to read that one more time. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And now that same verse of scripture in New American Standard. And this time we're going to read from 3, verse 3 down to 13, if you would allow me. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not in prison. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So Paul here reminds us as Christians that we should not be walking around in this earth realm as mere civilians. He reminds us we've been uniquely selected and carefully and specially trained. We're a fighting force that God himself has handpicked and put together in this earth realm today. We've been specially equipped as the body of Christ and assigned, and each one of us has been given orders by our commanding officer. I want to speak for a few moments tonight around this subject and theme, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whether you know it or not, if you're a believer today, the Lord has enlisted you and he's called you and chosen you to be a soldier. And I grew up with Army life. My dad was in the military for 20 years. He got out in 1968. He went into the military February the 9th, 1948, as a 17-year-old kid. He lied, said he was 18, and his older brother vouched for him or whatever. And so at 17 years old, he was enlisted into the United States Army, and he left the tobacco farm down in North Carolina, went into the military. So because his life was military, my mama's life was military. And as we kids came along, all of our lives were military. And anywhere the military sent my dad, he was willing to go. And, we lived all over in the United States. You know, we've lived in Kentucky. We've lived in Alabama. We've lived in Georgia. Whenever the military called, my dad, he answered the call and went. Wherever the military sent him, wherever they gave him orders, he went. We lived in New Jersey. We lived in California for a short while. We lived all over. And then through his orders, he got sent overseas. We lived in Holland. We lived in Japan. We lived in France. We just lived and traveled all over the world. And so that military life, my dad was completely committed to. Now, the second half of his life, he had a whole nother career, a whole nother business career after he got out of the military. But then he was what was called retired military. So then when my dad went shopping, when I'd go see him, he'd say, let's go shopping. We'd go down to the PX where he still had the privileges to shop down there, you know, just wherever the active duty soldiers would shop, just very inexpensive compared to, you know, just general pricing in the public. My dad had a boat, and for many, many years, he and I enjoyed his boat, but he kept that boat docked at a military arena, at a military marina, excuse me. And so whenever we would go out on his boat, we'd go down on post, and he'd show his retired ID, and we'd go over and get his boat, and then he'd have to call someone in the military, and they would raise a bridge, and he and I would go out to the Atlantic Ocean and do whatever we were going to do on his boat. Wherever the Army called him, whatever they told him to do, he did. 1948, he joined the military. 1950, they sent him to Korea. And when the Korean conflict broke out, and so my dad was there in Korea, and, you know, he just 19 years old. He's in a tank. And they wandered beyond the whatever parallel they were supposed to stay within. They wandered in their tank. They got out beyond that parallel and got shelled and the tank blown out from under them. My dad said they all got out as fast as they could before the thing blew up. And, came back from Korea, I think 52. 52, he tried out for the U.S. Army boxing team, made the U.S. Army boxing team, 1952. I have pictures of my dad boxing in the military. Army life, it's a whole different life than civilian life. And even today, you know, if you encounter a soldier somewhere on a plane or wherever traveling, there's a big difference between a soldier on active duty and a soldier who's like in retirement or who doesn't have active orders. And so seeing my dad's life, as a retired military person was totally different than his life as an active member of the United States Army. As an active member of the United States Army, he always had current orders that he was following, always subject to change. In retirement, he just did what he wanted. He just decided, well, I'm going to put my boat there at the marina, and we're going out, and we're going to the PX, and we're going whatever. He called all the shots then. But what are you saying? I'm saying, believe it or not, God has this awesome military that he himself has created, and he has handpicked the soldiers to go in this military. And every member of the body of Christ, whether you know it or not, whether you're actively engaged or not, he has handpicked you and selected you to be a member of his service. I want to say three things in our time tonight. I want to talk about the suffering of a good soldier. I want to talk about the service of a good soldier. And want to talk about the satisfaction of a good soldier. The suffering of a good soldier, the service of a good soldier, the satisfaction of a good soldier. One thing about it, when you meet a soldier, a man or a woman, when you meet a soldier, they're not like an ordinary member of society, are they? Soldiers are a lot tougher than the average crowd. Soldiers have a specialized training. Soldiers are, they're in a whole different category when you meet a soldier. Soldiers are not concerned about the ordinary mundane things. When a soldier has active orders, they're not concerned about the mundane routine things that ordinary people are concerned about. Paul wrote here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now that's not a good confession scripture. That's not a good scripture to confess as a believer, is it? You don't find too many believers quoting that scripture. But Paul knew something. The Lord had enlisted him as a soldier. And when you look in the mirror, beyond your flesh, beyond your eyes and hair, you ought to see a soldier of Jesus Christ. And the real question is tonight, are you actively engaged in obeying the orders that have been specifically given to you by our commanding officer, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's given every one of us orders. First of all, the suffering of a good soldier. Every soldier goes through times of hardship. They're trained that way. There's no soldier who's properly trained who never expects they're going to come across hard times. Every soldier comes across obstacles, across challenges. Every soldier comes up against issues of life sometimes. But a soldier is trained to overcome in whatever scenario they find themselves confronted. Doesn't matter what the issue is, a soldier's trained to compete and to win despite whatever the circumstance is. Paul said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, overcoming hardship, overcoming trials, overcoming tough things in your life. Let me tell you, that's the way we become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God has so designed it that we overcome, that we win, that we achieve. You know what he's made you and I? He's made you and I to be more than conquerors. And you know what he's after today? He's looking for a good soldier. He's looking at you and he's looking at me and he's looking for a good soldier. And you know, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to learn how to endure things that aren't always easy. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to learn how to overcome in sometimes unusual circumstances and situations. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to learn how to stay focused on the goals and the objectives and the things given to you by your commanding officer. He's looking tonight for a good soldier. He's looking for a woman who's a good soldier. He's looking for a man who's a good soldier. And the first characteristic, a good soldier is doesn't quit. A good soldier doesn't throw in the towel. And you may have come across obstacles and things in your life that may have discouraged you, but let me tell you this, a good soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't quit. A good soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't throw in the towel. And just because things get a little difficult, that's not excuse enough for you to give up. I said, I wish I had an amen here. I said, there's a lot of soldiers who get out of position in the body of Christ. God is calling tonight for his soldiers to line up, for his soldiers to stand at attention, for his soldiers to get in position. Now, you know, you may be here, you may have recently gone through a graduation. This is a time of year when people are graduating and thank God they've endured whatever they had to achieve and make it to the next level. You know, I'm obviously proud of my guy, JP, you know, this is his, he's graduating from high school and just so proud of him because I know it hadn't always been easy on him. But in 4 years, he's maintained a 4.2 average in school. and having to play and compete with the golf team and do all of that and still get his study so many nights. After midnight, he's up. He's been out with the golf team traveling somewhere. Now he's up. He's up studying in the dining room. So many nights I came in and just lay my hands on his shoulders and said, Father, give him strength. Give him what he needs to get his work done. And I'm especially proud because I know the things that he's overcome and gone through. And so it's a proud time. Somebody's graduating. It's a proud time. They've overcome obstacles. They've overcome some hardships to get there. You don't graduate from anything and not overcome hardships and achieve a measure of success by fighting for it. What are you saying? I'm saying you should, if time's not tough, thank God. But if times ever do get tough, let me tell you this, he destined you to win. And he commanded you to never quit or give up. And the enemy, he can't defeat us. What he tries to do is discourage us. Tries to get us to forfeit if we'll be willing to quit. But I came by here to tell somebody tonight, it's not time for you to quit. It's not time for you to turn back. It's not time for you to slow down. It's not time for you to back up. It's not time for you to yield in your commitment to Christ. It's time to press forward with your commitment to Jesus Christ, following him every step, every march of the way. The suffering of a good soldier. Whatever obstacle we face, we have a promise from this book that we can overcome it. Whatever challenge there is, there's a promise in the word to achieve. And so the suffering of a good soldier. Paul said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you know, Paul knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to suffer some things. But he never stayed. Whenever he suffered through something, he always overcame whatever it was. He never went through something and just stayed there. If something came against him, he shook it off. Remember that time in Acts 27, he was in a terrible shipwreck. It was on an Andromedan ship with 276 souls on board. And you remember before they left the harbor of Fair Havens, Paul had perceived in his heart, and he came on, but he was a prisoner on the ship headed to Rome to appeal his case to Caesar. 276 people on board the ship, and the ship was loaded down with cargo and freight. And Paul started sensing there's going to be a terrible accident. There's going to be loss of life. There's going to be harm and danger. We're going to lose all the cargo. We're going to lose all the people on this ship. Everybody's going to. He felt like, man, there's going to be loss of life and loss of cargo. And so he protested leaving. And history tells us they were leaving sometime in October. And typically then, in that part of the world, you never sailed past September. Because dangerous storms would break out and you could never get to your destination because you'd be blown hundreds of miles off course. And you know that's what happened in Acts 27. They're blown hundreds of miles off course. But it started. And Paul came up and said, look, we should not leave here. Don't sail. But the captain of the ship and the pilot of the ship, they said, we feel that we should sail. Besides all that, there's a south wind blowing. Paul, you're just a prisoner on board the ship. We'll get you to Rome. You just be quiet. Get back down in the prison of the ship. And the Bible says they took a majority poll. And the majority on the ship said, we should sail. And so they headed out. But the Bible said in Acts 27, it wasn't long before a strong wind rose up and a terrible storm hit that ship. And that ship was rocking and reeling, and things got so bad that the men on the ship didn't eat for 14 days. It was so bad. They were so afraid. Now, you think we had a little storm blow through here last night? Can you imagine? It's so bad. They didn't eat 14 days. But then God visited Paul with an angel and told him, fear not, Paul. Just like you testified for me in Jerusalem, you're going to make it to Rome. And he said, I'm going to save and spare the lives of everybody on board the ship, but the ship is going to crack. And Paul came up and he said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me. You never should have left. You exposed us to all this hardship." And he said, "But I believe God is going to be just like he told me." That's one thing about going through hardship. If you'll listen to the Lord, he'll tell you. You'll hear him saying, "You're going to make it." You may be going through a hard time, but if you'll put your face in the book, you'll see God telling you, "Come on, my child, you're going to make it." It may be rougher than you had anticipated, but if you'll take the time to pray and talk with your Lord, he'll tell you that no storm's ever been created that can take you out. You are not going under, you are going over. You are not about to fail. I've got destiny in your backbone to make you win. And God said, "I am able and will make you stand." And so it happened just like Paul said. And they listened to Paul. And of course, you know the great miraculous story. They all made it through. But funny thing about it, after they made it through the storm, they were on the island of Malta where the ship wrecked. And it was cold and, you know, 276 souls. The folks from Malta were trying to help them and feed them and keep them all warm. And so they were gathering sticks for the fire, just building a big fire. And the pile that Paul got, you know, the pile he got had a big snake in it, poisonous snake. You ever read that? And when he went to throw his wood on the fire, the snake fastened itself onto his hand. You remember what he did? He started complaining, didn't he? He said, "Oh Lord, why does this always happen to me? I get on the ship and the ship cracks. I get wood and there's a snake in my wood. Now I've been bit by a snake. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die. Oh Lord, I'm gonna die. Somebody help me. I'm gonna die. I've been snake bit." Don't you remember reading that in the Bible? It's not in there, is it? No, the Bible says the snake fastened itself to his hand, but Paul shook it off and suffered no ill effect. And the natives watched him because they knew what kind of snake that was. And they were expecting him to swell up and die. And the Bible said they watched him for a long time. But when he didn't die, they said, "This man must be a god." And a great revival broke out and they got a bunch of people saved. I said, God knows how to turn your hardship around. The suffering of a good soldier. And so recently somebody was asking me about this story. Years and years ago, Pastor Billy Joe Dougherty, just a wonderful man of God. He's in heaven now. He's a wonderful man of God. But Pastor Billy Joe, I don't know, he had called Pastor Hagin. They were great friends, you know. And he had asked Pastor Hagin to come over. And I don't know, Pastor and I were doing something that day, and Pastor said, "Why don't you go with me?" And so I went over there with Pastor. He was a guest of Billy Joe, and I was just hanging out with Pastor. And so we sat there talking. He took us, this was just before they had opened the Victory Church, I remember, because he was giving Pastor and I a tour. He was giving us a private tour. And one of the things I love, well, I won't say all, but I love so many things about it. But so we were talking, and now my boys had gone to school at Victory, so I knew Pastor Billy Joe. You know, I knew him a little bit because my boys went to school there and I'd see him a lot. And so he knew me and I knew him a little bit. Okay, so we were talking. And so Pastor Billy Joe had come through a situation where in a ministry line, a man had punched him. And he was ministering to people and he was praying for people. And this guy just wailed back. And I mean, he just cold cocked Pastor Billy Joe right in the middle of the ministry line. And so, I asked him about that day when we were with him. I said, "Pastor, what did you do when he hit you like that? I mean, could you see it? Did you see it coming? Did you?" He said, "I had no idea, Bill." He said, I could not see it coming. Here's what he told me, though. Something I never forgot. He said, "A lot of people ask me about that. Why I went through that. Having to go through being punched like that." He said, "But let me tell you this." He said, "God took what the devil meant to harm me. And he said, God turned that thing around. And he said, let me tell you this. I was able to share the gospel all over this world. He said, because this literally happened. You could see him on the news. And he said, every news media outlet, because someone had a video of it, the video went viral. And then they put it up on all of the news medias. And so he said, stations were calling me. He said, ABC and CBS and Fox News. And he said, all of the major news outlets called me. They all asked me for a live interview. And he said, I accepted every one that I could fit in. And he said, do you know what I did? He said, I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, they didn't know what I was going to say. They were asking me about the man punching me. And he said, I turned that. He said, what I did is I shared the gospel of how Jesus saved me, how Jesus can deliver a person, how he shed his blood. And he said, I was preaching the gospel all over the world, not paying a penny. He said, I was on live TV, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. He said, I was preaching the gospel free of charge because God took what the enemy tried to harm me with and God turned it around. And about that time, I was saying, come on, Pastor Billy Joe, come on. It just stirred something down on the inside of me. And if the enemy's tried to harm you or do something to you, let me tell you, God is the master of turning it around. If you'll trust him, he'll turn that thing around. I said, what it looks like today is not the way it's going to end up for you. God will turn it around. If you will trust him, God will take what the enemy meant to harm you and turn it for your good. He'll turn it for your good. Genesis 50, verse 20. Secondly, the service of a good soldier. The service of a good soldier. He said in verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. I like that. No soldier in active service. Now, of course, I got to experience that with my dad. Active service versus inactive service. He was retired. Inactive service, he called his own shots. He did his own thing. He didn't report to anybody in the military. But active service, whole different life. Let me tell you something, my friend. God has called you and I to active service. He's not called us to inactive service. He's not called us to make our own shots and our own decisions. Now, we have a commanding officer. And he's got a plan for every single one. You know what that plan is sometimes? Sometimes his plan is to stay faithful and serve in your church and be a good steward of what God has given and to help and be a blessing and a volunteer. And sometimes that is the most awesome plan. If God has that plan for you, that is an awesome plan. And that's why you can't sit in church like a bump on a log doing nothing, offering service to nobody. Because God don't do it like that. And if he's called you to be a thriving member of a local church, let me tell you, he wants you to be active in that church. If he's called you to live in a community, he wants you to be active in that community. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I'm doing a better job teaching this than y'all are saying amen. Every member ought to be active. Every member ought to be busy. He said, find some way to serve the king through serving his people. Whatever it is, find a way to serve the king. Active service. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. You know why? Because a soldier in active service has been given specific orders. And the Lord's got orders for you. Do you know that? See, the question is, are you and I following his orders? But he gives orders to every one of his children. Turn real quick to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. What is it? Verse 2 we're looking for? Acts chapter 1, verse 2. I said, the Lord has orders for you. I'll just start at verse 1, Acts 1, 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. Now watch this. After he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering. By many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. He gave them orders. Why? He's our commanding officer. He's given you and I orders. We're not in any kind of retirement in God's army. There's only active duty in his army. The suffering of a good soldier. The service of a good soldier. Finally, the satisfaction of a good soldier. Verse 4 again, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, my friends, one of the greatest discoveries you can make as a Christian is that life is no longer really about you. Paul wrote Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. And listen, the thing is, life is no longer about us having our way, getting our way. You know what life is about now? Pleasing our commanding officer. How many of you one day, you know you're going to stand before him, but you want to hear him say to you, when he looks in your eyes, you want to hear him say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. How many want to hear that? There's no way we can hear that and disobey his orders. There's no way we can hear that and ignore his orders for us. And it really doesn't matter what orders he gave to you. I've got to respond to the orders he gave to me. It really doesn't matter what orders he gave to your neighbor. You've got to respond to the orders he gave to you. And if he's called you to be a good Christian and to live a good life and take care of your family and to be a model example and stay active in your church and communities, you ought to do that with all your heart. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Somebody said, well, I didn't get called overseas. I must not have any active orders. You are wrong. One day you're going to stand before him and have to give account of what you're doing. Because if he didn't call you to go, he called you to send. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, if he didn't call you to go, he called you to be a sender. And one day you'll be able to stand in front of him, look into his eyes, and he'll look into yours, and he'll tell you that, well done. You did what I told you to do. A good soldier, my friend, the suffering of a good soldier, the service of a good soldier, the satisfaction of a good soldier. We'll close with this. Over in, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Paul said, you know what? Whether I'm at home with the Lord, whether I'm at absent from this body or at home in this body, he said, I'm going to have this as my ambition, that I want to be pleasing to him. My goal is to be, he was saying, pleasing to the Lord. And I tell you, that's the same thing the Lord Jesus said. He said, I'm not here to please myself. I'm here. I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father in John 8, 29. To be pleasing. Oh, man. It's so vital. If you're going to be a good soldier, continue to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The suffering of a good soldier. The service of a good soldier. The satisfaction of a good soldier. A good soldier is never satisfied until they're pleasing their commanding officer. A good soldier is not satisfied with pleasing themselves. A good soldier is not satisfied with just getting their own way. A good soldier is only satisfied when they know their commanding officer is pleased with them. The suffering of a good soldier, the service of a good soldier, the satisfaction of a good soldier. Every head bowed. Father, we've endeavored to remind your people of the importance of your clarion call. You've called us all to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Father God, whether someone's graduating now and going to another level as a soldier, or whether someone is remaining here to remain faithful as a soldier. We all want to be pleasing to you. We all want to hear you say, well done. And some are going through some tough times, discouraging things. Every head's bowed. You've been going through some tough times, some discouraging things. Let me see your hand in here. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hand down. The suffering of a good soldier. I want you to know something. Your hand was just up. You're not alone. And you're not the only one going through something. And it's the Lord who's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you out. If you'll keep trusting him, if you'll stay faithful, he's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you out. Some have been tempted to quit. I want to remind you, don't give up. It may be tough right now. You may find yourself sometime weeping now, but remember this, joy is going to come in the morning. If you'll hang in there, weeping may endure for a night, but his joy will come in the morning. And he will turn your mourning into dancing. And he'll give you a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. Oh, yeah. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. The service of a good soldier with every head bowed, every head's bowed. Yeah. Some need to pay closer attention to your orders. You're a wonderful person. But there's some things the Lord's got for you to do. And you've not been paying close enough attention to him. And you need to get busy, get actively involved. And you know he's dealing with you. Every head's bowed in here, but lift your hand. God's dealing with you about that. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, your commanding officer, he's talking to you. Do what he tells you. Whatever he tells you, you do it. The satisfaction of a good soldier. A good soldier wants to please his commanding officer. Wants to hear his commanding officer say, well done. Yeah. You may be in here tonight and you know, you know you're in the Lord's army. You know you were enlisted. You know he chose you. But you haven't been living right. You're living life on your own. You're making your own decisions. You're not looking to your commanding officer. You're living to please yourself. You've gone your own way. You were following him, but you turn around. Let me see your hand in here. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've never made that decision. I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never made him my commanding officer. Anybody in here like that? Let me see your hand. I've never made him, but I'm going to do that tonight. When you make this decision to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, your life as you know it is going to radically change. And let me tell you, God's got things in store for you you never dreamt of. And just want to do what the Lord said. He's the commanding officer. If you raised your hand saying, I have never received Jesus as my Lord. I've never received him as my Lord, but tonight I want to do that. I want you to just stand on your feet right now. Just boldly stand up on your feet. That's right. And I want you to take a brave step. Come down here and shake my hand. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to touch you. God's going to change you. God's going to help you. Just come right on down here. That's right. Just come right on down here. God's got something awesome for you. If you're in this place tonight, God bless you. If you're in this place tonight and you know you're not living like you should, you're what they call AWOL. You're going your own way. And you want to come home tonight. want you just to stand up boldly on your feet. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Hallelujah. I want you to come down here. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm just going to pray for you. I want you to just lift one hand to God. I know he's dealing with you. I know he's dealing with you. Father, you see your precious daughter here. And oh, Father God, I thank you for touching her in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for turning her life around. Thank you, Father God, for helping her, forgiving her. Thank you for making her, Father God, oh, Father, healing and helping in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You're touching her right now. I want you to say this prayer out loud after me. The congregation is going to say it too. Father, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wipe them away by the blood of Jesus. And come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I will live for you and follow you every day of my life. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you something. You are going to mark this day as a day when the direction and the course of your life changed. God, I know on the inside, I know God's got some awesome things in store for you. You took a long, bold step to come down here, and God's going to show you that he's God. I want you to go with our friend here to a special place of prayer. Yes, go ahead and get what you need, and then she's going to help you make sure you got everything that you came for. Let's give our sister a big hand. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you know God's got something good for our sister? Man, let me tell you this. Whenever the Bible says whenever someone who doesn't know the Lord repents and gives their life to him, there's joy all over heaven. Joy breaks out all over heaven. The kind of joy I'm talking about you can't get sitting in a Cadillac or a BMW. This kind of joy you can't get walking into a brand new house. This kind of joy comes from the fellowship of believers. When someone turns around, gives their life to Jesus. Oh my goodness. Glory be to God. Glory to God. How many excited about that? Oh man, praise God. You know why you should be excited about that? Because our commanding officer has given us orders to make sure that happens. And he wants to use you to influence people. Areas of your life. My friend, we got to go, but you may need prayer for any of the things we've talked about or something else. And you know how we do by now. Guys, come on down here if you want prayer, and girls, come on down here if you want prayer. And these folks will pray with you. Our prayer team workers are anointed, prayed up. So glad you came tonight. If you're here and it was your first time with us, wave at me. Let me see your hand. It was your first time here visiting with us. Yes, let's give all these folks a big hand. If you would, just go with our connection team members. I believe that's Jerry making her way to someone there. And just go ahead with our connection team members. And we're going to give you a good gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen just for coming. We just want to bless you. Just want you to know that we love you. And if you'll go with them just go with them right now. We're going to give you a good gift. Praise God. Was there someone back over here? It was your first time too. Did you wave at me? It was your first time? Wave at me one more time. Okay, one of our connection team members. Yes, go, please. Thank you so much. Let's give that person a big hand. Glory to God. All right. Glory to God. Well, if every heart is clear, every mind is free, stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just place ourselves in your hand. Ask you to keep everybody safe going home tonight. Thank you for guarding us last night over storms and winds and rain. Father, protect us all. Keep us safe tonight till we see each other again. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.